Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show you that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we're challenged from the book of 1 Samuel to let God lead. Now let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, friends. We are getting near the end of a great battle in the Word of God, the Battle of Elah, the Battle of David and Goliath, really the battle of God and the false gods. And God always emerges victorious in those contests. As we shall poignantly see today, we're in verse number 48, 1 Samuel 17. So follow along as I begin reading at verse 48. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. That is one of my favorite little details of this battle, that the Goliath just gets ticked off. He's like, I'm going to shut this kid up. He begins to move toward David. Of course, his movement is somewhat inhibited by all the armor and, you know, all of the extraneous things that he's wearing. But David, he can run. And David is not inhibited by any of that. And he runs, he meets him more than halfway. And I just love that. What is going through Goliath's mind when he starts coming at David and David doesn't slink? You'd think with a sling, you know, I'm going to, you know, keep my distance and get a shot, you know, take some shots. I got five stones. There's more where that came from. But man, he just goes running right at him.
You have to love Dave and his response here. And I kind of wonder how Goliath, you know, perceives David now as David runs at him.
Right.
David's not intimidated at all. Matter of fact, David's bringing the game to him, so to speak. David is coming because David knows that God will do a great work this day. And because David has that confidence, David is not at all fearful. He's not ashamed. He runs toward Goliath because he knows the battle is the Lord's and God's going to give him the victory.
Yeah. The ultimate validation of your faith is not what you say. David has said some really strong things. And you say, wow, what a great faith. Yeah, but I've heard a lot of great messages and a lot of strong things said. When I looked at the way a person lived, it's like, well, I don't think they really believe that. They talk about it well. And David preached a really great sermon here. But the sermon that David preached is not to be outdone by the life that backs up that sermon. That this is the part that is really, really validating. Verse 49, and David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it. I love that. He slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. And the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. Think about a couple things here, John. First of all, the force, just the force of that stone. And it wouldn't have been a little pebble. It'd be a good-sized stone. I've actually taken stones out of the brook there by the Valley of Elah, big stones. And then the accuracy, the Philistine helmet, that would have been just a very small, vulnerable area. And you have to think, well, God did some guiding on that rock, too. That was a guided missile, wasn't it?
It sure was. You know, God used David here this day. And he's thinking about, we know the story so well, but he's thinking about Goliath coming at the momentum Goliath would have had coming toward David. I mean, he is such a big guy. He's has all this armor on. You have all this force coming toward David. And David, you know, slings this stone. It hits him right where it needs to. Surely the providence of God is at work here. Because remember, David took five stones. He did not know if the first stone would be successful. But the first stone was. God is definitely at work through David here. And it's just inspiring to see what God does.
It's awesome. Verse number 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone. So if you're reading this the first time, that's quite a statement. So David went to the battle with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David because he went without it. And therefore David ran, stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him. So Goliath's not dead. He's stunned. He's knocked to the ground. David quickly gets there agilely takes the sword and kills him and then cuts off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. So all in one moment of time, you're seeing the death of the champion and the death of the confidence of an entire army.
And I like what you said a few episodes ago, Pastor, how that the deal was supposed to be that whoever wins, that other side surrenders, becomes servants. But that's not what happens. When they see their champion dead, they now flee. They're running for their lives. Now they are scared. And what just a juxtaposition so quickly. At one point, Israel's shaking in their boots, so to speak, or their sandals or whatever. But now David wins through the power of God. And now instantaneously, this people is fearful. And now they're running for their lives.
And not only are they fearful, but look at verse 52. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shaaraim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. So, yeah, they're running for their lives. But the same, it's like the fear got switched.
Yes.
So now the confidence of the Philistines is gone. It's fear. And the fear of the Israelites is gone. It's confidence. Man, if God can use David to do that, what a great God we have. And so their confidence isn't in David. It's in David magnified God and everybody benefited.
You know, as I think about this whole narrative, Pastor, I think how that Dave, when he came, these people were all fearful. David did not allow their fear to get in his heart, though, and to bring him down. And David did not try to just give them a pep talk and say, hey, don't be afraid here. David went and did something. And what he did caused the people around him, when they saw God working through his life, it caused the people around him to now have, you know, to change completely and now do what should be done. What one man did in faith surely encouraged all these other people because he's followed God.
I just have to wonder what David's brothers thought. You know, Eliab, I know your heart. I know the naughtiness of your heart. I know your pride. I know why you're here. You're just, for them to see this, wow. Look at verse number 53. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. So here's the booty of war. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, inquire thou whose son the stripling is. So, John, we talked a little bit about this off mic a couple days ago. And some people say, well, how could Saul not have known who David was? I mean, after all, he had played music for him. He was his armor bearer. This seems to be a contradiction in scripture. Help us understand what this means.
When I read this, Pastor, my mind goes to what Saul had said would be the reward for killing Goliath. You know, your father's house would be free in Israel. That means you're not going to pay any taxes, what's getting to. The king will make you rich, and you're going to marry his daughter. So officially, once this is done, if Saul's going to follow through on his word, he's going to have to know who the father is beyond doubt. It may be that Saul may not have known exactly who Jesse was. I don't know the answer to that per se. He may not have truly remembered who David's father was. But undoubtedly, from an official standpoint, he would have had to figure this out because it's one of his promises.
And it would stand to reason that he wouldn't know, because Saul was on a need-to-know basis as a leader. He didn't want to know anything about anybody unless it helped him.
Yes.
And so he knew who David was, but why would he ever have inquired about? You know, there are friends, maybe I shouldn't use this illustration. Well, I'm going to use it, okay? There are people that I know that when you talk to them, you know, I would ask about, you know, how's your church doing? How's your family doing? How's your ministry doing? How's your whatever doing? But they would never ask me that because they're not concerned about that. They're just concerned about, they just see the world through what benefits them. They see the world through who they are, and they're not going to see that. That was Saul.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know who this guy's father is. He could never help me. But now that he needs to know, yeah, who is David's father? Because he's got to make good on this promise. So I would tend to agree with everything you just said, John, as far as that's concerned. Look at verse number 57. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. Think about the last time David stood before Saul. He stood there wearing Saul's armor. And Dave, the last thing David said to Saul before he left him was, I can't wear this. This is not me. This is not how God has worked in my life in the past. Saul, I can't do it your way. Saul, I don't want to be you. And then the next time Saul sees him, he's holding this huge head of Goliath, just almost as if to say, God did this. See, what a study in contrast.
It certainly is. And I can't help but wonder what went through Saul's mind. I mean, Samuel's proclamation that God is going to replace you with a better man, Saul would not have forgotten those words. And I have to just wonder what Saul thought in the back of his mind when he sees David and sees this great thing happening. You know, Saul right now, he's going to bring David close to him, and David's going to be a great man in Saul's army. But I have to wonder in the back of my mind, at what point in his life did Saul fully realize that David is going to be the next king?
That's the question I was just going to ask. Look at verse number 58. And Saul said to him, whose son art thou, thou young man? And David said, I'm the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. It makes you wonder if, was that the moment that Saul knew? I mean, it'd be tough to keep the secret that Samuel went to Bethlehem. It would be tough to keep the secret that Samuel sanctified the family of Jesse. It'd be tough to keep the secret, that many people, that somebody, one of Jesse's sons, was anointed. Saul apparently did not know this up until now, but now he knows, oh, wait a minute, the son of Jesse, a champion. Maybe this is the aha moment. We don't know. What we do know is God wrought a great victory at the Valley of Elah, and he used a simple young man who had learned what it meant to trust God in private places. And that God of the private place, that God which saw in secret, rewarded him openly. And that same God is your God, and he's my God. And Jesus taught us that we can go to that secret place, and we can meet that God, and we can see those victories. And then God can show himself strong in obvious ways in our life because we can trust him there as well. So I hope that helps. Hope you're having a great week. Looking forward to a brand new chapter tomorrow. Hope you'll stay with us. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.